This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We've got face masks, temperature checks, and online courses, all part of the fall semester at local colleges and universities. And students are back on campus at some of them already. And with us now is a pair of local college students to share their perspective on heading back amid this COVID-19 pandemic. We have Jaden Riggs, a freshman at the University of Cincinnati. Jaden, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure to have you. We also have Hannah Bird, a sophomore at Ohio State University. Hannah, welcome to you as well.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Our pleasure to have you. Jaden, I want to read a little piece of an opinion column that was published at the University of Cincinnati with the headline, University of Cincinnati's Return to Campus Not as Advertised. This is written by Haley Martin, cited as an opinion contributor to the UC newspaper. Quote, I feel betrayed and misinformed by the university. The university got everyone excited about a return to campus just to have our hopes ruined. Almost every single class is online, dining halls are not open, and other activities are very limited. Jaden, is that a perspective shared widely among your fellow students?
Yes, very much so. I think that obviously so many students want to be safe, and that's my number one priority in going back this fall. But I think that it is so hard to ask students and to sign and commit themselves to a year financially, socially, whatever the case may be, and then change those things such last minute. I mean, to this day, they still don't have schedules planned and kids don't know where they're living. It's a very chaotic time for sure.
Do you know where you're going to be living?
I do not. I, in hopes of staying in the dorms, obviously as a freshman wanting that experience, my family and I made a really hard decision to not do that because it wasn't safe. And in doing so, it's caused a lot of hoops to be jumped through from the university. And communication, I will say, is definitely not their finest. And to give them credit where credit is due, we're in the middle of a pandemic. And so figuring out, you know, schedules and accommodations for all students is really difficult, but making decisions about living at home is something that a lot of students have done, and it hasn't been an easy process to be able to get accommodations and get acceptance for that because, you know, obviously the university is losing money by not having students on campus, so their number one goal would be to have students be on campus regardless of what measures it took to get there.
And Jaden Riggs is a incoming freshman at the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music. Jaden, you said that you and your family, I guess, evaluated the safety measures of living on campus in one of the dorms and decided that it wasn't safe. What were those criteria that you evaluated to reach your conclusion?
Yeah, so as a voice performance major at CCM, the opportunities for, you know, practice and being in a tiny room that's the size of my own bedroom now and being able to wake up every morning at 8 a.m. and telling my roommate, hey, sorry, I've got a thing right now, was something that I didn't feel comfortable doing with. But there's no options for, or limited options, I should say, for practice rooms and other accommodating spaces. It's not sanitary in a lot of ways to think about, you know, sharing a communal bathroom and having to schedule that and then having it be closed for cleaning and such like that. It's not a way to live and live safely and be able to have all the resources that you need as a college student. And so it was a decision of, you know, I can live at home and save a few bucks and also be able to practice safely and be safe and not risk being with so many other students that I can't control. And can't control their whereabouts and who they're interacting with that may have symptoms or be asymptomatic.
Jaden, you said you're going to be a vocal performance major at CCM. Have you learned how those types of courses will be taught, how your training will continue during this age of social distancing and masking?
Yeah. Obviously, being a voice performance major is a difficult challenge in of itself because research shows, you know, that singing in a lot of ways transmits germs and air particles in a lot more dangerous way than, you know, just speaking or interacting with other students. And so, you know, there's a lot that's up in the air. I'm currently taking all of my classes online, which is, you know, not the way that a performance major should, but I think that it's the university's only way to keep students safe. And they're doing, I think, the best that they can with what very little information they're being given day to day.
That is Jaden Riggs, a freshman at the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music. We're also joined on the phone by Hannah Bird, a sophomore at The Ohio State University. Hannah, this is your second year of college, so you have 1 year under your belt, albeit one that was disrupted by this pandemic. You lived in a dorm last year. Are you planning to do the same this year?
I am this year. I got lucky, and I just have one other roommate, and we're living in an apartment. So, like Jaden was talking about, I think if I had a communal bathroom and had to share spaces like that, I probably might, you know, I might be thinking about other choices, other places for living. But I am right now planning to live in a dorm. So, but that could change if the COVID situation changes.
You have one of the, I guess, I shouldn't say nicer dorms, but one of the more private ones might be more appropriate. One of the more private ones. Okay, so what is your expectation of the roommate? Have you all worked out your contacts and evaluated how each other has tried to stay safe during this before you start sharing those close quarters together?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a huge thing that's been on my mind, and I think kind of for everyone, going from most of us living at home and being with those people for several months now to going and living with someone who has been doing, you know, something maybe totally different. We have come up with a schedule to wash face masks, to make sure that those are being cleaned and clean our room and things like that, and kind of have an idea of where the other person is and how many people they're in contact with. But it is definitely a risk.
Hannah, what are you studying at OSU?
I'm studying public affairs.
Okay, and what is the status of your classes for the upcoming semester?
All of my classes except for one are online, and the one is hybrid, so I only come in half of the days.
Okay, so then let me ask you, if most of this learning this semester for you will be online, why is it important to go back to campus?
I think, I'm not exactly sure, but I think I will be better with learning with other college students around. Doing online classes at the end of last semester from home was really difficult. There was definitely kind of a mental aspect of, you know, being able to get all that same information and those kind of in-person conversations that are important in public affairs and working with my peers was very different. And it was pretty difficult to have to do that without other supportive college students there and kind of just be in my room all day. So I'm hoping that, you know, I will be able to at least get some of that on campus.
And we're talking with Hannah Bird, a sophomore at Ohio State University. How has the university been as it relates to communication on the COVID situation?
We recently got an update on August 11th about all of the COVID precautions and guidelines to follow. However, before that, the communication was kind of, we are working on a plan and we will let you know at some point. So move-in started August 14th, I believe. So that's pretty close to the day that people started moving in. I don't move until the 20th, so it's a little bit more for me. But we will have mandatory testing when moving in and weekly testing for those living on campus, as well as reporting our health, including temperature, every day.
And we're talking with Hannah Bird, a sophomore at Ohio State University, and also Jaden Riggs, a freshman at the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music. Let me ask you both about socializing, because we've talked a little bit about the academic aspect of university, but socializing in new ways is also part of the college experience. And Jaden, are there concerns, are there hopes about the way you kids might be able to get together?
I think it's a huge concern. It's so hard to be a freshman and to want to get to interact with your peers and upperclassmen, but also wanting to, you know, differentiate between what activities are safe and what's not. As of right now, I know that the university hasn't really made plans to have any sort of in-person activities where students can meet one another. As a voice department as a whole, I know that some upperclassmen, you know, wanted to host a party and a socializing event to get to see all of us and introduce one another. And I made a decision when that was released to not attend, and it was so hard to make and choose that I was not going to get to meet my peers and friends, but I just didn't feel like I could be safe in that way. And I think so many college students will probably make hard decisions or make sacrifices about who they're going to hang out with or even choose to hang out with people. I think that's the hardest thing about college is you can't tell a bunch of young adults to not go out and party and not socialize. It's just, it's impossible.
It sounds like you had to make a tough decision there, Jaden. So I'm wondering, do you expect a certain number of your peers to police each other to say that maybe it's not a good idea to go to this unsanctioned campus event since we know how COVID spreads?
I think that the people that I surround myself with will definitely be on high alert and will police one another. I think that it's our only way right now to keep each other safe in the times that we are on campus and off campus hanging out with one another. I can't speak for everyone else, though, and I know that people have a lot of different opinions about COVID and, you know, if they think that it is serious. And so I don't know how other students will react. I think it's a huge mixed bag of students that will be safe and cautious and students that are going to do what they want to do.
Hannah, heading into your sophomore year at Ohio State, I'm sure in your freshman year, you learned that in better times, there are good times to be had in Columbus. What are your thoughts or concerns about campus socializing among students in the upcoming semester?
Yeah, I think kind of similar to what I said with about the roommate situation, definitely just being cognizant of how many people I'm visiting on campus and really utilizing those outdoor spaces while it's warm outside and I'm able to do that. I definitely think that's been, you know, I haven't seen a lot of my friends in 5 or 6 months, so I'm excited to see them, but, you know, making sure that that's in a safe way and, you know, kind of reassessing, is that the top priority right now?
Hannah, let me ask you about paying for college, because I have seen a lot of criticism from students and higher education observers that all of these experiences are not being included this time around for students who are still in school or heading into school for the first time, and yet the tuition rate is still the same. I'm wondering what your thoughts might be on that.
Yeah, I think that there is a big social aspect that's kind of missing, whether that's just being in classes or, you know, actual things that we are still paying for, like gym facilities that aren't, you know, we aren't allowed to use, and dining facilities that are carry out only. I think it's just, it's a bummer, but there's also a lot of, I thought about taking a gap year, and I know some of my friends have thought about that, but there's, you know, in some, you know, some aspects, a bigger financial loss in doing that because of tuition going up and things changing and, you know, losing scholarships. So it is a difficult decision.
And Jaden, as you head into the University of Cincinnati, do you have thoughts on the financial impact of all this?
Yes, I think it's so hard to, I had to sign a waiver saying that I wouldn't file a lawsuit against the school or anything for the tuition remaining the same. And after signing it, I really thought to myself, it's so hard to ask students to pay the same rate to have an online education, because they are very different. And the university, even in itself, when they offer all online classes, you know, to some of their adult students or things like that, the tuition rate is different. We're paying, like Hannah said, for gym facilities and new student fees and campus life fees, where that, you know, we're not getting those experiences. And I think it's hard to ask students and their families to pay for those things. I understand that we've got to keep the university running, though, and sometimes you have to pay your dues in order to attend the school in whatever form that may be. But I think it's hard to be in a position as any student, you know, who has financial struggles and not be able to know if taking a gap year will end up helping them or hurting them. And knowing that, you know, 2 years down the road, are they still going to be able to afford their education? I think that this is a hard battle financially, and COVID has done a lot to make families struggle in a financial way.
We're talking with Jaden Riggs, an incoming freshman at the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music, and Hannah Bird, a sophomore at Ohio State University. So let's talk a little bit more about campus life and the impacts that COVID has had on it. Hannah, I guess last fall would have been your freshman year, and going to a place like Ohio State is like entering a new city with its own culture and traditions. And obviously football in the fall is a very big deal. What do you expect of life on campus this time around?
Yeah, that's been a huge thought for everyone, especially with the football season being postponed, which I think is best move to make everyone safe, but it's definitely a bummer. That was a big part of my freshman year in the fall. And a lot of, you know, social aspects like that. It is like a city. There are 60,000 students. So there's a lot of people interacting and a lot of clubs going on, and all in-person meetings over 10 people have been canceled and are not allowed on campus. So it's definitely going to be a lot different.
And Jaden, what can you even expect of your first semester on campus in the age of COVID?
I couldn't tell you. I think that it's going to be so different. Like Hannah was saying, you know, UC does have a football team that people get excited for and tailgate, and UC has a huge Greek life, and things like that have, from my understanding, been postponed and canceled. And I think it's going to be so hard to find social activities and ways to be a part of groups and clubs in a time like this as a freshman.
So COVID-19 has impacted all of us, of course. And depending on where we are in our lives, it's impacted us in different ways. Of course, there are many ways that we are all feeling it the same way. But, you know, maybe we had a big vacation plan. Maybe we had a big move planned or a wedding that was planned. You all are young adults. And Jaden, I guess you're high school senior year was disrupted by this, and Hannah, your freshman year at university was impacted by this. So I'd just like to ask you both in general, what is it like for you right now, and what type of lasting impact on your outlook on life do you expect this experience to have, Jaden?
I think I've been talking to friends and family. It's so interesting to be a graduating senior in all of this and finishing out, you know, a huge time in your life in high school. And then to be entering, you know, this next new chapter as a freshman in college. I think COVID has definitely impacted me for better and for worse in a lot of ways. It's really taught me about a lot about our social systems, our financial systems, you know, the ways that we interact with one another and how we can all keep ourselves safe. I think that moving forward and as we continue to navigate this virus and hopefully slow down the spread, I think that it will teach us a lot about ourselves as a society and how we work together and create a new normal and a new way of living that's beneficial for all of us and, most importantly, keeps us all safe.
And Hannah, the takeaway for you from this experience at this point in your life?
Yeah, it's a bummer that we're missing out on a lot of the college experience and kind of nerve-wracking that we could possibly be going into an economy that is crashing when we get out and are looking for jobs. But also, as a public affairs major, it is really interesting and firsthand experience at how government and social systems deal with something like a pandemic. So, yeah.
UC freshman Jaden Riggs and Ohio State sophomore Hannah Bird, thanks to both of you for sharing some time with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And we'll continue this conversation with the president of Northern Kentucky University and a vice provost from the University of Cincinnati next. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks, and we continue now with our look at how local colleges and universities are preparing and taking precautions as students return to school in this pandemic. So joining us now to talk about preparations and precautions, our Northern Kentucky University President, Dr. Ashish Vaidya. Welcome, Dr. Vaidya.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm well. So glad to have you back on the program. And we also have with us University of Cincinnati Vice Provost for Enrollment Management, Jack Miner. Jack, great to have you back as well.
Great. Thanks for having me, Michael. Good to talk to you.
Likewise. Dr. Vaidya, I'd like to start with you. The Diocese of Covington announced on Sunday evening that Bishop Brossard High School in Alexandria, which is returning to in-person learning today, would be doing so without its principal, its assistant principal, and its secretary because of exposure to COVID-19. That's before students even returned to school. So now, after weeks and months of preparations, NKU is returning, folks, to campus. How confident are you that all the planning that you've put in has you in a good position?
Well, Michael, that's really an important question. I think one of the things we've learned, not just over the past 5 months, but really NKU has evolved, is that we need to remain agile. We need to remain flexible. We need to be thinking about what happens in case we have to pivot. That's been sort of the way we've operated over the last several months, often making decisions in real time. As the conditions change, as issues change, to really make those changes that we have to. We've prepared for this over the last several months. Our COVID preparedness team has been hard at work. As things change, we are prepared to make whatever changes are necessary because the health, safety, and well-being of our students, faculty, and staff is of the utmost importance.
I have to think back to my own time at NKU, a longer time ago than I care to admit anymore, when I lived in Norse Hall. And even then, you know, we didn't have a pandemic to worry about. We were all on top of each other in our living environment and often socializing in close proximity. It's got to be hard for students entering school or returning to school and not being able to engage in that. What is the message, Dr. Vaidya, to the students who have moved back onto campus?
Right. So for many of them, especially if they are first year students, freshman students, they ended their high school in such a difficult way in the spring as well. So we wanted to make sure we could try and give them as much of an on-campus experience as possible, but still making sure that they stay safe. So you mentioned housing. Normally, the capacity for housing is about 2,000 beds or so. We've reduced that to less than 1,100 just because we wanted to make sure that students had single rooms. Trying to avoid any congregation around common spaces. The dining options are mainly to go, so that minimize any folks trying to, you know, stand together and be together and things. So, but we've told them that, you know, we want to make sure that their experience as much as possible, at least the first semester, is keeping in with the guidelines that we've been given by CDC, the Commonwealth of Kentucky. We've made sure that our entering class has an on-campus experience with in-person classes. So we're doing as best as we can, given the challenging circumstances we find ourselves in.
That's NKU President Dr. Ashish Vaidya. We're also joined on Zoom by University of Cincinnati Vice Provost for Enrollment Management, Jack Miner. And Jack, as students start to return to the University of Cincinnati, how are you preparing them to remain vigilant, diligent, and responsible?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's been really important for us is to think about this as a community effort. One of the things that we've really stressed with students as they move back onto campus is the concept that we've always had around the Bearcat bond. And really, we've outlined expectations for students, expectations for faculty and staff about what returning to campus safely looks like. And we've really been able to partner with our medical center to be able to think about what is the best answer for our students. So what that really ends up looking like is I'm actually in my office now and can look out the window, and we have a number of students on campus today. We had move-in over the weekend begin, and people are socially distancing, people are wearing masks. So again, in many ways, we are like a city. Within a city, and really people behaving here in the same way that they're behaving kind of as they've gone out and lived their life with COVID being a reality, I think is the important lesson.
I know that there's probably no way to be 100% certain that you've taken all the right steps. That's why I started referencing what the Diocese of Covington announced about the Northern Kentucky High School that lost its top administrators to self-quarantine due to exposure to COVID-19. How confident, though, is the University of Cincinnati's leadership team that it has covered as many bases as it can?
Yeah, I think we're confident. And I think it's not just the confidence that you've covered the bases about prevention, but also the inevitable. You will have cases of COVID on any campus. We have cases of COVID in this county, in the city, and that will continue. And I think the important piece is, how do you react to that? How are you prepared to react to that? So for us, what that translates to is thinking about the ways that we've distanced our students in classrooms to be able to know that if somebody does become COVID positive, that they haven't exposed other students, or that there's a low risk of them exposing other students. And in the residence halls, being able to provide spaces that if we need to isolate or quarantine students that are in our housing, we're able to do that in a way that is safe for them, but also comfortable for them. And that, again, allows them to continue to take classes if they want to.
So, Jack, can you explain that a little more fully? What is the plan when you find that you have COVID case or COVID cases at UC?
Yeah, so the best example is within housing, I think, is what people immediately go to. First, again, very similarly, we reduced our capacity in housing, but we still will have 6,000 or more students in our housing. But we did that, but we continued to grow the number of spaces we had. So we've leased some off-campus facilities to be able to provide us not only space within housing to be able to reduce capacity and have students only have one roommate as a max, but also to provide a space that if a student suspects that they may be COVID positive and they're going through testing or they've started to show symptoms, we can move them out of their dorm room into a facility that allows them to be isolated. And then if we get a positive test result back, we can move them into a facility that again, non-symptomatic, that they don't need to go into medical care. We can move them into a facility that, again, allows them to be distanced from other students. And I think that's going to be, again, important for a couple of reasons. One is, I think that's a good opportunity for us to be able to reduce the chances of exposure and spread. But I also think the other big important piece of that is, again, how important it is for our students to play a role in this as well. We've asked our students to do a wellness check every day. So our hope is that they take their temperature every morning before coming to class, that they're continuing to do an assessment of whether or not they're symptomatic. And then they're reporting to our COVID watch line if they become symptomatic, so we can walk them through the processes. So again, I think it's been a really, really strong emphasis on this being a partnership between the university and the university community.
That's Jack Miner, Vice Provost for Enrollment Management at University of Cincinnati. We're also joined on Zoom by Dr. Ashish Vaidya. He is the president of Northern Kentucky University. Dr. Vaidya, NKU has a very close relationship with St. Elizabeth Healthcare, which has a very close relationship, obviously, with the Northern Kentucky Health Department. What protocols has the campus in Highland Heights put into place when cases inevitably arise there?
Yes, in fact, you mentioned exactly the partnership. We're calling it Healthy at NKU. This initiative is a wonderful partnership with St. Elizabeth Healthcare. Of course, we've been longtime partners with them, but also with Gravity Diagnostics, our local Northern Kentucky company that's been doing testing, and the public health department. We have the brand new St. Elizabeth office building right on the tip of campus right there. So we'll be offering testing for our students, faculty, and staff if they have any symptoms. Just like we heard from Jack, we have a Healthy at NKU app that everyone is expected to sort of check into the first thing in the morning, check on their symptoms before they even come to campus or go to class, as the case may be. And we've been working very, very closely with them. The public health department will help with contact tracing for any positive tests. Of course, testing will be available in that St. Elizabeth building, as well as we have some modest availability on campus as well. This is a really wonderful partnership, and we've been really thinking carefully about how we can continue, as you heard from Jack as well, just to make sure that students understand the repercussions of what they're having to do. So we've created this thing called the Norse 9. It's an easy to remember kind of list to give everyone on campus a better sense of the things they have to do to keep themselves safe, the campus safe, and each other safe as well. And we're hoping that everyone sort of adheres to that the best we can to minimize the risk of spread.
Dr. Vaidya, you mentioned that new building that was constructed to house that St. Elizabeth office. I think there are bigger plans also afloat for that particular part of campus. NKU is growing significantly, but I imagine this pandemic, well, we know it's taken a significant financial toll on the campus. Can you give us an idea of what the financial situation looks like at NKU now?
Yes. I mean, most of the time, these financial situations are always challenging. But I think in this case, what's a little bit unclear is just how things will play out. We are well aware, you know, I heard earlier from the students that you were interviewing, you know, the weight on the students with respect to economic crisis has really been tremendous. And so we've been mindful of that, trying to make sure we've kept tuition frozen for this coming year. You know, we've ramped up our efforts to create student emergency funding for our students. So it's a little bit uncertain. We don't quite know exactly how this is going to play out. Some of it depends on what happens with the state revenue picture. And, you know, fortunately, the Commonwealth of Kentucky ended in a better position than they thought at the end of last fiscal year. But this fiscal year is going to be somewhat different. We're waiting to see how it all plays out and whether we might have to bear some mid-year cuts and so on and so forth. In the meantime, we've done some scenario planning. The good news is we've been in financially a good position up to this point. We're also seeing robust enrollments in our online programs. So, you know, we're trying to keep some of the balance perspective so that if the things do become more problematic, we look to some of these other backup options. Right now, the idea of trying to do anything and put it on the burden of the students is really not an option. So we're keeping our options open and seeing how the Commonwealth of Kentucky sort of their state appropriations look like this coming year.
That's Dr. Ashish Vaidya, president of Northern Kentucky University. We're also joined by University of Cincinnati Vice Provost for Enrollment Management, Jack Miner. And Jack, we did talk to a couple of students, including one from UCCCM in the previous segment about their expectations, their concerns, their fears, their hopes leading up to this. And both of them, as many students are, critical about tuition being the same, even though the experience and the offerings are not. What is the university's argument for that?
Well, I think one of the things that we've really tried to do is a few years ago, as part of University of Cincinnati's strategic plan, we dedicated something called the Bearcat Promise. And that was really a concept around making sure that we were giving students the tools when they graduate to land a career, that we didn't just give them a degree, we gave them a roadmap of what their life could be and what their career plans could be. We've gone back to that over and over and over the last 5 to 6 months to talk about what does life under COVID look like and how to make sure that as we're returning in the fall, we're giving students that same quality experience. So whether it's online or in person, we're making sure that we're giving the highest quality education, but also the highest quality student experiences. Jaden, who was one of the students that you talked to, who was from University of Cincinnati, she's going to have a really phenomenal experience, actually, because she's part of the Conservatory of Music. And that was actually one of the groups that has really pivoted to be able to react to teaching under COVID in a really unique way. So they are very highly in person. So even though portions of University of Cincinnati will be offering classes online, a really large portion of the students in CCM will actually be getting almost one-to-one instruction from our faculty, because again, that was a value that we felt for that discipline. We really needed that in-person, on-campus experience. So we concentrated on how to do that in a safe way. Those changes that we were able to make in other courses, so in large lecture courses and other courses on campus, where we could move to an online environment, really gave us an opportunity to have flexibility to place a really high value on in-person instruction where we felt like we needed in-person instruction.
Dr. Vaidya, we've just spoken about the new building on campus, and that campus has just exploded with construction growth in recent years. Do you have concerns that, based on the experience that all of us now have of experiencing online learning and online working in a new way, that campuses like NKU and Highland Heights and the buildings upon them may not be as necessary in the future?
You know, it's a question I think many institutions across the country are grappling with. We are actually completing our master planning process for physical space, something that actually hadn't been done at NKU for almost a decade. And so the timing is actually very good because we've been talking to our consultants to say, you know, let's examine the space that we have, make sure it's aligned with the needs of students, both current and future. What are the kinds of ways in which we have to think about the physical space of the campus? And what do we have to adjust to this new reality that we are clearly focused with? As a public university, we're also mindful of our steward of place philosophy, which is that we're here to serve the region writ large. And so there are ways perhaps in which our spaces could be better utilized for other regional needs that we may be thinking about in a more meaningful way. For instance, the Health Innovation Center that you are familiar with, Michael, and how that's become sort of a way to bring together different groups to analyze challenges with respect to our health focus that we have to do. So I think this is coming at a very, very good time for us to say, let's take a really hard look at, you know, how are we doing this? Are we utilizing the space? What else do we need to do to make it more collaborative, perhaps? How do we actually connect the needs of the students and really create the best option between place-based education, which we think is a very important element, versus online education? You know, Michael, the results have shown that while we are making wonderful strides in the quality of online education, for a large segment of our student population, the on-campus experience, and not just what happens in the classroom, but the kind of learning that happens around the quad, in the outdoors facilities, the community that you build, all that is a vital part of the education. And so we're going to take a full look at this, in fact, and really be able to decide for the next 10 years or so, what should our space look like in this post-COVID world?
Well, in the post-COVID world, we've got a couple of minutes to talk about in the current COVID world, but to talk about the post-COVID world, what does that look like at the University of Cincinnati, Jack? What measures would need to be taken before university leadership says, now this is as close to normal as we can be based on what tools we now have at our disposal to fight COVID? Is it a vaccine?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of pieces. I think number one is, what does the spread look like in this region? Again, I think one of the things about COVID that's been very interesting, I think nationally, has been that the profile looks differently and the spread profile looks differently across the country. So I think it's, what does the profile look like in this region? But I also think having either a treatment, a better treatment option, or a vaccine or of some kind would be really important to be able to move forward. I think one of the pieces that we'll start to look at, though, is, again, to your point, what does returning to campus look like? What does the future look like of higher education? And I think that's a really interesting proposition. You know, University of Cincinnati has been a leader in online education for more than 20 years. But that's been very much focused towards adult learners. And I think one, you know, we've got great programs and things like criminal justice and nursing and allied health. But I think as we look forward, I think we'll see students really see the advantage of having more online course availability, where students had maybe been resistant to online courses in the spring and were worried about it. I think what many students have started to find, and I think will continue to find through fall, is in many ways it can give you more flexibility, gives you a little bit more control over your own schedule. And I think we'll end up finding that while students probably won't want to go entirely online, I think we'll start to see more and more students that want that hybrid opportunity where they can have the online course choice, but still be able to engage in campus activities, student life activities, and really be part of the campus community.
Okay, and I just want to make sure that Dr. Vaidya gets in here for the last 30 seconds that we have. Dr. Vaidya, what is it that you would be looking for as leader of the university before you feel like you can just open it up to look like it did before COVID?
I think, you know, the point that were made earlier is still very valid. I mean, our focus on student success, engaged with the region, are still as relevant as ever. One thing that the COVID has clearly done is it's exposed vulnerable fissures that have been there for a while. And I think it helps us double down on the important elements we have to address going forward. So our point is that the best difference we can make is continuing to help our students transform into the engaged citizens that we know that they will come and add to the vitality of this region. The biggest question we are faced with is, how are we going to emerge from an economic, social, and civic place as a region and as a community? And I think the universities play a tremendous role in that. And we are working closely with actually all of our partner institutions in this region to create a much more vibrant society.
We appreciate Dr. Ashish Vaidya, president of NKU, and UC Vice Provost for Enrollment, Jack Miner, for being with us. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Michael.
And thanks to you for listening. 4 deaths at the hands of gun violence over the weekend in Cincinnati has this city on pace to see more than 100 homicides this year. Now, local officials and community activists are seeking answers and solutions, including a proposed ceasefire. We're joined by some on the front lines of this urgent fight tomorrow at noon on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.